All right, let's get right into the Word here this morning, see what the Lord has for us, okay? Jeremiah, it's from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Why don't you follow along? This is from the King James Version. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But for her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And before I get started, Amber, thank you for leading us today into the very presence of the Lord today. It's a very awesome, beautiful time together today. And just like that song said, there's nothing greater than being in the presence of the Lord. Having Him in your heart, residing in your heart. Oh my gosh. Well, Brandon brought us such a powerful word. If you have was here last Sunday or if you've watched it, it was a right now word, Brandon. And he telling us that it's time to push, especially as we prepare to navigate through 2024. And so today, if you will allow me for a few minutes, I want to speak some things into your spirit, and I want to build on what was said last Sunday concerning the pushing. It was time to push. That's what he preached on. If you haven't noticed lately, we're being inundated and saturated with nothing but bad news on a daily basis. And if you listen to or watch the headline news for very long, it can and will create feelings of hopelessness and stress and anxiety. When you watch and read about all the insanity that is happening in our country, it doesn't take very long to be overwhelmed and with feelings of frustration and anger, and that turns to despair that so many people have felt and are feeling. Yet need I remind us to remember that as believers and as Christians, we are not like everybody else. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not to be like the world. Yes, we're in the same world, but we're not to be of the world. We're supposed to know how to function in the world without being mastered by the world. So as we are being slapped in the face, if you please, with all the crazy stuff our government is doing, can I just give you three words that seem to jump out at me this very week? Here it is, three words on the screen. It doesn't matter. Would you look at someone and just tell them it doesn't matter? And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to vaccinate us today with a good dose of it doesn't matter. So go ahead and roll your sleeves up while you're at it, okay? Understand with me that the devil wants to get us under the circumstances. In fact, he wants to keep us there. And he wants to get us all weighted down. He wants to get us all burdened down with all the negative circumstances of life. But I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit wants us to learn how to live independent of, or should I even say, on top or above the circumstances. But now you need to understand, it doesn't mean the circumstances are not negative. And it doesn't mean that we are in denial of the circumstances. It just means that we are empowered to rise above our problems and our circumstances. And yes, we can speak to the mountains and see them moved in our lives. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, he said it this way, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that means to live very plainly, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. And I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Basically, Paul was saying, I live in the land of it doesn't matter. I have learned how to live independent of and above the circumstances through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't mean there aren't hard times. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean I don't feel pain sometimes. We all have. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I don't get disappointed sometimes. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that the devil never attacks. It just means, Sister North, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I always have everything I want. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that things always turn out the way that I want them to. It just means that it doesn't matter. Paul says, I can be up or down. It doesn't matter. I can have abundance or lack, and it doesn't matter. The economy can be booming or the bottom falling out of everything. It doesn't matter. And then we find where somebody else said the same thing, but he used different words. It was Habakkuk the prophet. He said it like this. This is found over in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, if you're taking notes. Here's what he wrote. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fall or fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So let's look just for a few moments a little closer at this so we can get the full meaning of those powerful words that Habakkuk was speaking. He starts by saying, although, or we could replace it with the word, even if. Or we could even go ahead and take it all the way and say it doesn't matter even if. Now, watch this. He lists the things that most people would have considered it the most catastrophic things that could happen in life back then. The fig tree shall not blossom. That means it would not have the figs to make the delicacies. Today, we couldn't have any fig Newtons. Wouldn't that be terrible? There is no fruit in the vines, meaning no wine, which was a source of joy. The olives aren't producing any oil. The fields are not producing anything. There's no grain for the bread to be made. The flocks are cut off from the fold, meaning for whatever reason, whether disaster or theft, the flocks are gone, the sheep and the goats are gone. And then it says no herd in the stalls either, for food source or for labor, talking about the cattle. Today, we might say it this way. Even if we just received the worst doctor's report, even if the spouse just filed for divorce, even if you lost your job after 30 years, even if, God forbid, your house just burned down, even if you lost a loved one, even if you were betrayed by someone you trusted with all of your heart, understand with me, any one of these things alone would be considered a great calamity and a source of grief and suffering to us today. Can you say amen? Yet the prophet says, although, which means even if every one of these horrific calamities were to all strike at once, it doesn't matter. Listen now, and it's not that I don't care, and it's not that I won't feel the effects of it, and it's not that I won't miss my lights because I have no oil. It's not because I will miss my T-bone steaks if there's no cattle. But it doesn't matter. In other words, what the prophet is saying is whether everything is going great or everything is going to hell in a handbasket, I'm going to praise the Lord. He's saying hell may empty itself at my doorstep, but praise will open the door and step over the top of it. Now, I'm not saying I won't get wet when it rains, or I won't get cold when the electricity goes off, but it doesn't matter. Listen, being a Christian doesn't mean that we are exempt from problems. Can you say amen? It doesn't become a rose garden once you become a believer. From hardships, from trials, from tribulations, it doesn't mean that you will never suffer loss or never have a broken heart. But watch this now. But it does mean we learn how to live from a higher place. And I'm talking about the heavenly places of it does not matter. Now, please don't misunderstand me. And please don't misinterpret what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not saying that it has absolutely no effect on me. I'm not saying that I am impervious to pain. I'm not saying that I won't ever fall. I'm not saying I won't ever cry. I'm not saying I won't ever question why. What I'm saying is, I will trust my God and I will praise Him anyway. Can you say amen? Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Watch this now. You see, this is the real battle. The devil is after your joy. He's after your praise. He's after your faith. He's after your commitment. And really, he's after everything about your life. Yeah. Why? Because he wants you sick, broke, and disgusted, hoping that you'll turn away from God. Yeah. Yet. Everybody say yet. Yes. There is nothing more confusing and more debilitating and more humiliating to the devil than for him to throw his best shot at you, and instead of backing up and backsliding and going into deep depression and leaving the church, you square your shoulders back, you lift your head, and you lift your voice, and you give him a shout of praise. Or a song of praise. And I'll tell you right now, there is unbelievable power in a midnight praise. Just ask Paul and Silas. And I'm talking about the darkest hours of our lives. One misconception that many people have is that praise has to be joyful and it has to be pretty, or it's not really praise and it's not really powerful. That's not true. Job probably is the greatest example in the Bible that we could have. He had lost everything, including his health. But instead of cursing God, what did he do? He worshiped his God. Amen. Was it a pretty praise? No. But it reached the ears and the heart of God. And in the end, God, we read where God restored Job double for his trouble. Amen. Would you just say, make mine a double? Amen. All right. Let's go back to our text again. Jeremiah 17. I want us to look at that real quickly. I want us to dissect these verses. Back in verse 5 of Jeremiah 17, it starts by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It's not thus saith Jeremiah. It's not thus saith Ezekiel. It's not thus saith prophet so-and-so or pastor so-and-so. This is God talking. Amen. And God pronounces a curse on the man that turns away from God and puts his confidence in the arm or the strength of the ability of flesh. Watch this. That means trusting in anything apart from God. That means you haven't included God. I'm talking about like your money, or people, or technology, or medicine, or doctors, or lawyers, and on and on. Again, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that these things are evil in themselves. They each have a place to play in our lives. Amen? Amen. It just means when these things take the place of trusting God with our hearts, that we bring ourselves under a curse. We open ourselves up to every evil thing. All right, let's go on. The person who takes their trust away from God and places it in the arm of flesh, it says he will be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, Bible commentary says that the heath is a low shrub that is fruitless and useless because it neither bears seed nor fruit. It says it is reckoned among unhappy plants, if there's such a thing, as such as are condemned or forbidden for religious uses. Yet, very fit to represent such persons as put their trust in men and in themselves and not in the arm of flesh and not in the Lord. So notice what the Bible says about the heath in the desert, or specifically the man who trusts in the flesh and not in God. He will not see when good comes, and he will dwell in a dry place. That means that the person who is leaning to the arm of the flesh and whose heart is not really trusting in God will live in a very spiritual, desolate place. They will be far from the presence of God that we sung about this morning. There will be no joy, no peace, no favor, and the goodness of God will be hid from him. That's what the Word says. Amen. And that's a terrible thing to have happen in one's life. Notice it doesn't say the goodness of God won't come. It just says when it comes, they won't even see it, which means they're not going to be even perceiving it. In other words, it can be raining blessings all around them, but they will be living in the atmosphere of perpetual drought. Terrible place to be. While God is pouring out His blessings, they will be as dry as a corn shuck. How many know that's pretty dry? Because they will not have the capacity to perceive or even receive what God is doing in the land. The goodness of God will be manifesting all around them, but they are living in a land of drought. Rain is falling all around them, and they're complaining about how hot it is and how dry and desolate and miserable it is. Why? Because sadly, their eyes have been blinded to the goodness of God. But I have some good news. Let's look at the next part, and that's what I love. Because this part is talking about those who trust in the Lord. God again says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now here's what the Living Bible, here's how it says it. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So here we go. Blessed, happily favored, and fortunate are those whose hope and trust and confidence is in the Lord. These trees are planted along a riverbank, which means they are in place of continuous abundant supply. But then it says their roots reach deep into the water. The water represents both the Spirit and the Word of God. So what is it like for these trees that trust in the Lord in contrast to the shrubs that put their trust in the arm of the flesh? These trees then are not bothered by the heat, nor are they worried by the long months of drought. These leaves stay dry and they never stop producing fruit. So here's the essence of my word today. This is what I want to bring our attention to today. The trees and the shrubs both are in a natural sense enduring the same physical circumstances or conditions. And notice then, it says these trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. It doesn't say the heat doesn't come or the drought doesn't come. What it does say, in essence, is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now here we go, hold on. The trees that are planted, talking about us, the trees are planted by the rivers of water who have a continual supply of the Spirit and the Word are not like the useless, fruitless shrub that can't perceive when good comes. We're just the opposite. We're just the opposite. Here's what we're doing. We're tapping in to the goodness of God in the middle of a drought. Would you look at somebody and say, I'm tapping in. Right in the midst of the heat, our roots have found the source of strength and refreshing. We've learned how to seek out the anointing and the presence of God. So again, what is the ultimate result of those who put their trust and their confidence in the Lord? Their leaves shall always be green, and they shall never be fruitless. So this is what I believe then the Lord is saying about this. He said in 2024, my people must trust me more. Brandon, that's part of the pushing. And I really feel like, and I believe there's going to be a clear line of distinction in 2024 between those who are trusting the arm of the flesh and leaning to the arm of the flesh and those who are trusting in the Lord God Almighty. And sadly, those who are leaning and trusting to the Lord, trusting in the arm of flesh, are going to be cast down. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be confused. They're going to be bewildered. And they'll find themselves in a continual state of frustration. They'll have no joy, no peace. They won't even recognize the good things that God is doing. They'll put everything in the same basket and still nothing will satisfy them. On the other hand, those who are still pushing, those who are trusting in the Lord and are dwelling in His presence and living by His Word, watch this. They're going to be joyful. They're going to be confident. They're going to be expectant. They're going to be at peace. They're going to walk in divine favor. They're going to be fruitful. They're going to be productive. And yes, very thankful. Why? Because they kept on pushing, Brendan. Amen. They'll have spirit eyes, and they will see then the good as it comes right in the middle of all the drought of human failure and evil and confusion. And yes, those things are here today in the land. They will have the capacity to perceive and receive all that God is doing. And they will live by the motto, it does not matter. That's a place I want to live by. Three scriptures, Psalm 37 and 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. One more, very familiar, Psalm 20 and 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Can I just tell you that as we walk through 2024, it's going to be imperative that we trust the Lord more than ever before. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in the judicial system. Don't put your trust in the monetary system. Don't put your trust in the medical system. Don't put your trust in the electoral system. Those will all fail, and it's already happening. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God in whom we have put our trust. Amen. Even your money will remind you in God we trust. And I believe that in spite of all the crazy and evil things that are going to be done in 2024, those who are putting their trust in the Lord are going to soar. We're going to soar above the confusion, above the turmoil, above the strife. We're going to soar in the goodness of glory of God, and we're going to be green, and we're going to produce good fruit. Look at somebody and say, oh, how green you are. And we will, anybody got green on today? Oh, one or two. Amen. All right. All right. And we will become more and more attractive to the world in a spiritual sense. Why? Because they are starving and they're dying, Brandon, of thirst spiritually. And we're going to be the lifeline to Almighty God. So, Brandon, our pushing should not be something that we dread. Because, look, what's on the other side? More of God's goodness, more of God's glory, and the ability to produce much fruit. Not just fruit, not just more fruit, much fruit. So yes, Brandon, you were right on. It's time to push. And today, it's time to trust God more than ever before. Amen. Everything else doesn't matter. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we're going to pray because there may be some people in here with some trust issues. Guess what? We have to spend time alone with God to be able to hear His voice. Well, Pastor, I have a full day. I get up, hit the floor running all day long. I go to bed late at night. There's family, there's job, there's cooking, there's this. Feeding the chickens, feeding the animals. Can I tell you there's a trust issue somewhere? Yeah. And I'll just be truthful and brutal, honest with you. There'll never be time. You have to make time. Amen. You have to turn this off, turn that off. Say no to this. Take the time. Make the time. Whether early in the morning, late in the evening before you go to bed. Amen. It's all about trusting Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you know there's other trust issues? That's a trust issue with self. What about with our finances? I'm just going to step out there, y'all. You got to know there's trust issues if you can't faithfully support the place that is feeding you spiritually. Amen. 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 Well, Pastor, I'm just going to let everybody else do that. I've got this to take care of. I've got this to, and I'm saving my money. I'm going to need it down the road when I retire. Y'all will be fine. I'm going to be brutally honest. There's a trust issue right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now. Lord, you see our hearts. Lord, we cannot hide anything from you. You know everything about our heart. You know everything about our lives. You saw what we did this morning. You saw what we did yesterday. You already know our future. But I thank you that you've given us a choice. Lord, I want to make right choices. I don't want to be like that fruitless shrub in the desert, living a joyless life. But Lord, I want to put my trust in you, and I want to be like that tree planted by the water, where my roots run deep. And Lord, I surrender again to you today. I won't ever trust issue dealt with in my life. You see, those that hurt me a long time ago, help me to forgive and go on. Help me to learn to trust again. It doesn't matter. I may not have to be around them, but I forgive them. But help me to learn to trust again, to trust people. You tell us to be aware of our circumstance, to be aware of our surroundings, to be on guard. I thank you for that. So, Lord, guard my heart. We've closed the door to fear today. So, Lord, I thank you for that. But, Lord, I ask you to deal with me, and I ask you, Lord, to speak to the hearts of your people here today under the sound of my voice, those that may have had to deal with trust issues. I ask that you speak to their heart and you lead them in the path that you've got for them. I thank you. I thank you that you've called us for this hour to do what you've purposed for us to do. I want to fulfill your plan in my life. I want this body of people to fulfill your plan in our lives. I thank you today. I speak blessings over them. Lord, go with us this afternoon. Lord, bring us back safely Wednesday night. We praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. And we will see you Wednesday.